But thank you for inviting me here anyhow. I'll give you my best. How about that? Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, let me just first say welcome. Welcome. While we're having this celebratory day, Dorothy got us all kicked off in the right mood. Welcome. I'm glad you're here with us. Glad you're here with us. And now let me ask you a question. Whether you're here, whether this is your first morning here, as it is for some perhaps, or whether it's your 500th morning here, as it may be for others, how did you come to be here? How did you come to be here this morning? What brought you here in the very first place, first time you ever came? Think about that for a minute. Was it an ad in the newspaper? Was it something on social media? Not for those of you that have been here 500 times. There was no social media back then. Was it our website? Did you see the church and say, wow, that's pretty. Look at that Caroline. Let's take a chance on that. What brought you here? What was it that gave you the curiosity, that gave you the courage to walk into a place where you knew no one and come in and sit down and join that worshiping community on that first morning? Were you even looking for a church when you first came here, or did you just say, hey, let's go to church this Sunday and see what happens? That's almost always a deadly gamble, by the way. A number of years ago now, I came back to the church after a 20-year absence because I felt like my two young kids needed some sort of religious education, and you can see who ended up here. That's how that works. Be careful. Here's the real question. Show of hands now. Don't be shy. How many of you came here because you were invited by a friend or a neighbor? Yeah, look at that. Yeah. That's compelling. That's compelling. For those of you that are regular here, are part of this community and witness that, there's a little encouragement to you to do what I'm always urging you to do, reach out and invite, right? Those folks were invited. That's how they came here. Church consultant Wynn Arn, he says that the most effective way to bring people to your church is by personal invitation. Despite all of the packaged programs you can buy, despite all of the money you can spend in the newspaper, despite everything you can pour into social media or mail or booths on the corner or whatever the heck it might be, the most effective way is personal invitation. He goes on to say, we've asked more than 50,000 people over the last 10 years why they came to church, and between 75 and 90 percent, our finance guy's back there, you can get that right, Tim? 75-90% say, I began attending because someone invited me. On the other side of that coin, equally compelling figures, 70 to 80% of the unchurched, you're not going to believe this, I know you're not, 70 to 80% of the unchurched say they are likely to accept a personal invitation from someone to come to church if it is offered. 70 to 80% of the unchurched. Now let me just remind you that something in the measure of 50-plus percent of your neighbors in Fountain Hills constitute the unchurched. Think about that. 70 to 80% are likely to accept an invitation. Let me give you a case in point. These guys right here. Anybody recognize them? Yeah, it's a mugshot, yeah. Yeah, we just took the number off the bottom, but that, of course, is Larry and Kathy Cole. Now, here's a little story that you may not know. They were living in a condo community that was peopled with a number of folks that happened to be part of this church community. The Stuarts, for instance, lived there. Butch Utter, who has passed away, lived there. Charles and Marilyn Humes lived there. Sally Atchison lived there. They were surrounded. They had no choice. But Arlene Stuart, right there, began having conversations with Kathy Cole. It started over coffee, but I think it ended over wine. Not sure. And Kathy talked to Arlene about her spiritual needs. And Arlene said, I think I've got a place for you. Why don't you come to worship with me? And so Kathy came. Happened to be that one Sunday where there was a particularly good sermon. It was a dialogue between me and our former associate pastor, Ken Brown, and there was something in there, I have no idea what, probably something Ken said, that touched Kathy. And she said, I want to come back. Well, then she went home, and she runs into Sally Atchison in her neighborhood, who she's building a friendship with at that point. And I think it was the same thing. Probably started over coffee, but I know it didn't end there. And Sally said, you know what? If you're interested in our church, I have a personal relationship with our pastor. I'll bet you if I invited him over here and promised him something brown in a glass with ice cubes, he'll come. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, no. One evening for happy hour, I went over to Sally's house, and she had invited the Coles, and we met, and we had a delightful evening just getting to know one another. Now, these folks didn't have a profound church background. They did not. But they found something they liked, and they responded to something in this personal invitation, and they saw something happening in their friends that they wanted to have happen for themselves. And so Sally then issued a second invitation. Kathy came. And she liked what she saw again. And she continued coming. And then a little over time, Larry followed her. And Larry came. And he was searching in his own way, a different way, but he began to find something. And so he began to come. And they got involved, right? And voila, a couple of years later, Kathy's an elder and can't get out of this place, and Larry's the clerk of session. That's how it works. That's the power of the personal invitation. That's how churches grow. That's how the kingdom grows. That's how Jesus did it. Larry and Kathy joined that 75 to 90% that say, I came because someone invited me. Thank you, Arlene. Thank you, Sally, who is up in the North Woods. So this brooks a question. What might they have missed and what might we have missed if Arlene and Sally hadn't taken a chance on those invitations? I know many of you think that's awkward. I don't want to put my religious stuff out there and drive these people away. Just be gentle. Just say, hey, listen, I have this experience that means a lot to me. I have some people who I've really come to just treasure. I wonder if you'd be interested in meeting them. Here's the thing. While some of you were invited by a friend, all of us have been invited by an even better friend. His name's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one who really issues that invitation, no matter whose mouth it comes from. And he longs to shelter us here in this special place and in his peace and in his wholeness. And that makes this a different sort of place, and it makes us a different sort of community. Now, this will come as no surprise, right? It's an anxious world out there, and it's grown more so in the last 18 months, perhaps than ever, other than during perhaps world wars. We all know that, right? That was me early this morning. 40 million Americans are suffering from anxiety disorder this morning. There are multiple types of anxiety disorder, panic syndrome, those sorts of things. 40 million Americans, 280 million folks around the world suffer from anxiety disorder. 25% of us in the U.S. are stricken by this debilitating anxiety in our lifetime. 25%. You don't think anxiety is a crisis? You haven't experienced anxiety as a crisis? In 2005 in the U.S., there were 53 million prescriptions for two anti-anxiety drugs, Ativan and Xanax. 53 million prescriptions for anti-anxiety drugs. Here's a better one. You heard that second text. All authority has been given to me, says Jesus, as he seeks to heal, as he seeks to make you whole. I know. I'm making you anxious. But I want to make an important point. Because like I said, it's different here. We have this prescription. And we have our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives us a love for those who also love him. And gives us a love for those who don't know him, who we suspect would love him if they could. Welcome to the community of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Those of us who gather here regularly know this is a place of rest, a place of respite from that anxious world. I want to read to you a really short poem from a gentleman named Harold Prommel. How many of you remember Karen and Glenn Ford? Yeah, Miss Karen, as she was known. Yeah. She was sort of a grandma to Annabelle in the early days. They both since passed on. Harold Prommel was Karen Ford's father. He wrote this very brief poem called Journey, which I think is appropriate this morning. I walked a lonely trail, the same as you had done. We met and learned to fill our lives with love. That's our experience here. All of us have walked a lonely trail. All of us have come here and met one another. And all of us have learned about love from one another and hopefully experienced love from one another. I hope you'll feel relief and acceptance here today. I hope you'll be sheltered from the anxious world. I hope your burdens will be lessened for being here. That's why I appreciated Dorothy's prelude so much. That celebration and joy. I want that so badly for all of us. In our text this morning, Jesus tells us not to worry. Not to worry. Can you imagine not worrying? Try. Just try. Then he tells us a couple of rather astounding things. That life is more than food. That the body is more than clothing. And that we hold great value with our Creator. We hold, listen, great value with our Creator. And this comes as news to us, living as we have been in the context of a culture all around us which tells us something radically different. It says that our identity is secured by our possessions and that we can never have enough to be truly at ease. Yeah, says Jesus. Yeah. I see that. That's the way it is with the Gentiles. Which is to say, that's the way it is with the unbelievers. It's not so, says Jesus, for those who know me. It's not so for those who know me. The text isn't idealistic. The text is not naive. Jesus lived in this real world. I would remind you, he walked the paths of Israel. He was rejected by many, and he was ultimately executed. I think he knows what he's talking about. Your father knows you need these things, he says. Your father knows you need these things. Why do you think the Lord's Prayer starts off with, give us this day our daily bread? the most fundamental of human needs, sustenance. Ours is not a remote God. Ours is an intimate God that knows us and knows our needs and cares deeply about both. Your Father knows you need these things. Ask Him and He'll give them to you, says Jesus. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. This passage is an invitation, you see, to live in new ways that offer freedom and release from anxiety. And as with the Father, so with the Son, the same life-giving and transforming powers now reside in Jesus Himself, the risen Jesus. All things have been handed over to me, He says. All things have been handed over to me. For many of you, a friend reached out to you this morning and offered you an invitation. Come with me. Come with me. Larry, Kathy, come with me. We've learned such inviting ways from our friend Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come to me, He invites. And I will give you rest. How good does that sound right now? How good does that sound this morning? We learn such inviting ways from Him. And He offers us rest at the deepest level, rest for our souls. Rest for our souls, those troubled entities that are the engine of all of our lives. Perhaps this invitation is new to you. Perhaps you've not heard this before. Perhaps you've not heard it in this way. Most of us are aware of the Easter promise of life after death, but many are not aware of Jesus' promise of life during life. It's one thing to trust Jesus to save us from dying. It's another to trust Him to guide us in our living. They say that over time, people begin to look like their dogs. They do. Let's take a look. Oh, what do you think? I think so. Oh, how about that? Another one maybe? Yeah. There you go. And the last one here. Oh, yeah. Okay. But hey, there's one more. You got to have this one. Okay, so over time, people begin to look like their dogs. I think we can accept that now, right? I went to seminary for this, by the way. I was trained in these sorts of things. My professors are just cringing now. What did we do to him, and why did we ordain him? Here's another one. You probably also heard that in time, friends begin to look and sound like one another. Let's see about that. Well, I'd say so. Pass the Colgate, please. Ho, they look like twins. Oh, and then there's those. Yeah, I think over time we do begin to look like one another. Perhaps as we gather here, we'll begin to look and sound like one another. That'd be great. There's some of you I'd rather look like than me. That would be really good. And then on one hopeful day, together, we'll begin to look and sound like Jesus. Because that's the goal, isn't it? The goal is to be in Christ, as Paul says repeatedly. Hidden in Christ, as he said in Colossians. Looking like Christ, acting like Christ, being received by like Christ. Our friend Jesus invites us to seek relief from the domain of anxious living. He wants to repatriate us into His kingdom, which is entirely different. You see, you don't have to wait to die to experience the transformative power of Jesus Christ. He's here among us this morning, inviting you, because that's His nature, into a new and non-anxious way of life. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. hopefully you've experienced a taste of what that might be like here this morning among this gathered group of friends. Or out there on the other side of the camera through those notes coming through on the Facebook page. Or maybe you can feel the warmth from this sanctuary radiating out to you, and our love for you and our desire to know you and our desire to share in ministry with you and our desire to see you whole. Because we are one community, regardless of where the camera's pointed. Hopefully you found this place, this experience to be inviting, a sanctuary of rest and a respite for this hour. I pray that would be so. Your Heavenly Father, you see, he knows you need all these things. You see, this is the kingdom of heaven. It's here. Here. It's here now. Right now. And it's here for all of us. So welcome. Welcome. Let me extend an invitation to you. Come on back. Come again. Come on in. Bring a friend. And may you find what so many of you have already found here: rest for your souls.